The Next Generation crew is back in space, battling more lethal enemies in the new film Star Trek First Contact. On this archive edition, we have a 1993 interview with the original Captain Kirk, William Shatner. He didn't work on the new movie, but he's still playing off the Star Trek phenomenon. He's now at work on his third Star Trek novel. I spoke with him after the publication of his book, Star Trek Memories. I asked him to share some memories, starting with how they used to get beamed up.
First of all, beaming up was a device, a dramatic device, so that you didn't have to have a gangplank go down or an elevator or a shuttle to go from the ship to the shore. So it was an invention of convenience, and it really is just to dissolve two blank pieces of film dissolved together with a little spritz in it on the film, did a little sparkling, and it's a very simple special effects, long since thought of as primitive.
What did you have to do to make it work so that the effect would be convincing?
We would stand on these plates of glass that had lights underneath them, and the lights would go up and down. Camera's rolling. Camera continues to roll, and we walk off. They then film the blank, the empty space with the lights going up and down. And what they do in the post production is cut out our walking off and dissolve the film. The camera has stayed locked off. The camera has not moved and continues to roll, and dissolve the piece of film that has us standing on the plates of glass and the empty plates of glass that we're standing on. And the dissolve is either, if we arrive, is from the empty to the people standing in it, or from the people standing in it to the empty if we're leaving. It's very simple, with a little scratching on the little sparkling.
So for you as the actor, it was like, stand here for a few seconds.
Right. And in the first several months of filming, we didn't quite understand that the walking off was not going to be there no matter what we did. We could run, walk, crawl off. It was not going to be there. So we kind of walked off in character, you know, as though this was meaningful. It became hysterical to us months later, as we began to realize the simplistic techniques that were involved, that required not much intelligence to understand, we thought were highly complicated. Something was happening we didn't understand. We better be in character all the time.
Now, I seem to remember lots of episodes in which Captain Kirk would go to another planet where a lonely, horny woman would try to kidnap him and keep him for her own.
Yes.
Have I exaggerated the number of episodes like this over the years?
Yeah, not in my opinion. It's all I can remember. The whole thing is fading from view except those beautiful girls.
So did the romantic episodes go over well?
Oh, my God, I look forward to them each week. Who's the girl this week? Who did you bring me this week, said the king.
What are some of the get-ups that
brief costumes. Again, Bill Tice came to my rescue and made those girls as naked as possible, basically because we couldn't afford too much wardrobe, so the less material he had to use, the better, and that was part of it. You know, he'd get some expensive crepe or organdy and use as little of it as possible. You know, a little drape here and a little handful there, and that was enough. It was as risque as television got in those days, and unfortunately, I was the recipient of all that. Risqueness?
Risqueability? Who knows? Yeah. When Star Trek really took off in syndication, mm-hmm. did you feel vindicated and think, I knew it all along, this is a great show? Mm. Or did you look at its success and think, I just don't get it?
Well, I was removed from it because in those years, residuals stopped after five replays. Well, by the time it got to syndication, it had replayed five times somewhere. So we, the actors, never received any money from the fact that it played innumerable times over the years. Some of the bitterness that may still reside in some of the actors is as a result that their faces have become extremely well known, but they haven't been compensated commensurately.
But what did you think of the show's success?
I was astonished. Who would have thought that a show, it was just a phenomenon.
I mean, did you, like I said before, did you feel vindicated? Did you feel
it was more, I don't get it, yeah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't vindicated by any means. I thought it had its natural life, you know. We struggled against odds and made something work for 3 years. Again, in itself, was unusual.
William Shatner, I'm going to play a record.
You what?
Do you know what's coming?
I have no idea.
Okay, here it comes. This is you.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Cellophane flowers of yellow and green towering over your head. Look for the girl with the sun in her eyes, and she's gone!
William Shatner, this record has become a kind of a camp favorite over the years.
So it seems.
Yeah, what's the story behind how you made this record? Whose idea was it? What was the idea behind it?
Well, it was a concept record, and
the album was called The Transformed Man.
Right, and what I had attempted to do there was combine speech and song so that there are excerpts from classical plays that precedes that cut. Now, Lucy in the Sky with the Diamonds was LSD. And I don't quite remember the cut that precedes. I think it's Cyrano de Bergerac with the speech that ends, I may climb to no great heights, but I will climb alone, that had original music written to it. So it in effect, were lyrics to a song, to a musical theme. Segues into Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, which is a drug song of a person who can't climb alone. So the idea was amorphous, perhaps, but it was an honorable idea. What's happened is nobody plays the cut that precedes it. They play Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Although listening to that, if you were to take a drug song and if you were to visualize colors and kaleidoscopes, you might have some fun thinking of a new interpretation of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
So you still like it?
I listened to that little cut. I didn't mind that. My voice is a tenor there. That's a long time ago.
Sometimes I put on the TV on Saturday afternoon when they have their like monster horror chiller theater type show on, and you're there battling the spiders.
Yeah, another cult favorite. I have become a cult favorite over the years for one or another of things I've done. I've got to get into the straight world soon.
William Shatner, recorded in 1993. This is Fresh Air.